I believe that the Word of God is important to the salvation of our souls. I believe that it is the light, the door. I believe that the Word of God will direct us in the way that we ought to go. I believe the Word of God is indeed the Son of God. I believe it encourages us. I believe that it strengthens us. I believe that it will exalt the humble. I believe that that Word will save all those who seek. If you would this day, please do turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning verse 1, we go down through verse 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. With His Word, God brought all things into being toward light and godliness. Now in history, there is a mixture of devotion and fear toward God. And when we look in history, specifically when we look at the facts that are recorded within Scripture, we can see that devotion toward God. We can see men who put their lives forward that we might have the Word of God. We can see prophets who have died sharing that Word of God. Jesus was crucified being the living Word of God. The apostles, save John, they all perished giving their lives for that Word. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 through 29, there we read, "Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." We can see the fearful consequences that occur to men who decide that they will go against the Word of God. Adam, he brought consequences upon all men because he made a choice that went against God's Word. We see with Pharaoh, and we see with Egypt, they suffer a great number of plagues. Why? Because the arrogance of the hearts which stood against the Word of God. Moses, he fails to enter into the promised land because again, he does not adhere to the Word of God. Nineveh is destroyed because they would not listen to that Word. And Judas, he hangs himself when he understands that he has betrayed the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." You see, the fear of the Lord is a motivator. When we realize that we could fall into the great and mighty hands of an all-powerful God, and that we have decided to turn our back on Him in this life, that will bring fear. When we know that He has our souls in His fingertips, that will bring fear. We see this combination of fear and honor has sparked respect for the Word of God worldwide. Now, America has a history of reverence for the Bible. In fact, when you look at the upbringing of early America, there in 1782, Congress, because there was a lack of Bibles within the United States, they get together and unanimously they import Bibles for the citizenry. In fact, upon the second time of doing so, they have endorsed, yes, Congress's stamp of approval there within the first few pages of the Bible. Why? Because they believed that the citizenry, each and every person, would benefit by the Word of God. The Bible was required reading in school up till the 1940s. The Bible in the major colleges, even when you look at Harvard and Yale, the Apologetics Press has written upon this, they would require their students twice a day to read within the Scriptures. Because it had to develop the man. And it showed him the way in which he should go. Many founding fathers expressed the need for the Bible to the citizenry. They felt that it was necessary for the proper function of America. But today, in America, the Word of God is not being revered as it was. The path that God spoke for righteous living is being defied. We see this in the actions not only of the government, but in the actions of its citizenry. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, speaks there of those calling evil good and good evil. We see so many people supporting those things which are in direct opposition to the Word of God. How can it be? I can't put a smiley face to that. It's simply wrong. Public distribution and display of the Scriptures is being banned from monuments. It's being banned in your flyers and tracts that you want to hand out. It's being banned in the prohibition of our speech and our sharing in public to those who have souls in need. You look to the governor of Colorado, he says there's a passage in Leviticus, you cannot sell your Bible if you have that there. God would beg to differ. We see this lack of reverence in this country today. America is failing to respect the Word of God. Now when we know when we go to the book of Proverbs, so the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But in so many places today, we do not see this wisdom. And we do not see this fear of God. I want you to consider today the topic of respect for God's Word. We could honor God's Word in a great many ways. We could honor it for being the most historically accurate book of ancient times. We could honor it because there is no single document in all of the world that has more verification through other manuscripts, through historical accounts. Nothing compares. It is the bestseller of all time and today stands even so. We could honor it for telling us scientific truths, which for thousands of years men didn't understand, nor comprehend, nor discover. But then upon the realization of scientific facts, they go, oh, the Bible had that a long time ago. We could honor God's Word for directing and explaining all these archaeological finds before the shovel even hits the dirt. Indeed, we could honor God's Word because of all these things. But today we honor God's Word because it is the power of salvation to all mankind. God's Word establishes men must hear and believe and trust and obey. And it's within these elements today that we will examine respect for God's Word. To respect the Word of God, it must be heard. It must be believed. Do you know that 98% of the world has access to the Word of God? 98%. Not only do they have access to it in a language that they're fluent to, That means only 2% can't take advantage of that from its written form. But we have a bigger problem even than that. Of those that actually have access to it, you know, only a little over half of the world is actually literate to read those words. They can get it, but they can't do anything with it. So there's this dilemma, folks say, what about the one who's never heard? God had a solution. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, foreseeing that in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, knew not God. It was God's good pleasure, through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. And guess what? That 2% is covered by those that share the word this day in every single country. God isn't playing a game with us. He has given us a word unto the salvation of our souls. Something that certainly goes beyond joint and marrow, that pierces us deep. Here is a promise of God for salvation. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. If you seek, God promises you will find. That 2%, that 100%, God's going to reach them if they're looking. The door is open. Now, through the creation, these things are evident to us, God's power. Through our own consciences, which God has given us, we will seek. Man does not have an excuse. The means of salvation relies on trust. Relies on seeking. Only through purposeful ignorance will a man fail to know the Word of God. That purposeful ignorance is pure disrespect. I want you to turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. In Nehemiah 8, we see a time frame that is following the captivity there in Babylon. And we're going to see a gentleman who's introduced in the prior book, Ezra. We're going to see this individual reading the Word of God. Now Ezra, there in Ezra 7 and 10, is described as one who set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach its statutes and its ordinances in Israel. So Ezra is one who is concerned about and has respect for the Word of God. He's asked by the people of Jerusalem there in chapter 8 to read the law. Ask. Verse 1, chapter 8, Nehemiah. And all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it before the square which was in front of the water gate from early morning until midday. In the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Messiah on his right hand, and Pediah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbanana, Zechariah, Meshulam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. for he was standing above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akkub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kelatah, Esariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. And they read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so they understood the reading. These people were hungry for the word of God. They listened for more than 45 minutes or the hour-long sermon that I'm giving. They took the time to have respect for the word of God. They stood from early morning till midday. They stood there. They heard the word of God and they had it explained to them. There is no other way to move toward respect of God other than to hear the word of God. Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, during that first century, we didn't have the written word. They had the old scriptures, and indeed they had some of the letters that we have today, but they did not have this in perfect complete. They did not have it as described there in Ephesians, and I believe there about 4 and 13. They didn't have that perfect that was spoke about there in 1 Corinthians and 13. But today we have that. And we can go to the Word. Now one says, okay, so you can go to the Word, but how can you understand? You need that preacher to understand, right? Paul said in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Bereans there in Acts 17, what are they doing while Paul's speaking? They're going, they're checking the Scriptures to see if these things were so. They evidently thought that they could understand the Scriptures. The Word of God will guide us into the truths. And it will guide us toward respect. And what can happen when a man has heard the words of God? He can believe. Exodus 3:6. You've got Moses. Moses sees the burning bush. He hears the words shared by a messenger of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Stephen speaks about that in Acts chapter 7. He is given the Word of God. What does he do? He hides his face. Why? Because he believed. He believed this was the Word of God. 2 Chronicles, I want to turn there. We're going to look at chapter 34. We will return to this reading later in this lesson. But as we look at this text, we'll look at chapter 34 and verses 18 through 19. Now beginning 2 Corinthians 34, verse 18. Understand this is a time frame when Hilkiah has discovered the book of the law. Wow, that's quite similar to what we were talking about beforehand. Again, following the time frame, certainly of the Babylonian captivity. But there in verse 18, moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest gave me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. The king is Josiah. Verse 19, it came about when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. Why? Because he believed. And he understood that the wrath of God is upon them for not walking according to his ways. We see Jonah. Jonah shares the word of God to Nineveh. What do people do? They change, they repent, they mourn. They believe. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Christ is speaking to the woman at the well. That Samaritan. And as he speaks to her, she discovers many things. They talk, of course, about water and a living water. And she believes that indeed he is the Messiah. In fact, there in verse 26, it is Christ that says, "I am," or "I who speak to you am he." But I want to look here in verse 39. Following this discussion with this woman, the woman goes out and she goes home and she's overwhelmed with these things Christ has told her. She believes and she wants to share this belief. Verse 39, "And from that city many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all the things that I've done.' So when the Samaritans came to him, they were asking to stay with him. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you have said, what we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" There in Acts chapter 2 through chapter 4, Sermon preaches that first sermon, sharing the Word of God. And we often talk about how there were 3,000 souls that were saved that day. What happened 6 hours later? You read further about that ninth hour. Peter shares a second sermon. And there, up to $5,000 more folks come to know God. They believe. When we look at the Word of God and what hearing can do, it develops hearing, or it develops believing. Now we move forward and we think about this hearing and this belief, and one says, "Okay, great, I respect the Word of God." Hearing, believing does not mean that you're going to respect the Word of God. Think about King Saul. King Saul there in 1 Samuel. First king of Israel. In his life, he hears the words of God because Samuel the prophet shares them with him. He hears the Word of God. At one point, he even prophesies. But did he have respect for the Word of God? His actions would say no. In John chapter 11, I want to look at verses 47 through 48 in this text. Speaking of Jesus and his actions while he had the time here upon this earth, beginning of verse 47, John 11, "Therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council, and we're saying, 'What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe on him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.'" These folks had heard what Jesus was talking about. They had no doubt about these signs, miracles, and wonders that Jesus was performing. But did they respect the Word of God? No, they did not. James chapter 2, verses 18 through 19, "Yea, a man may say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well.' The devils," or demons as you may have in varying translations, "believe also and tremble." They didn't respect the Word of God. Saul, the Pharisees and scribes, the devils, they hear, they believe, but it ends there. Though hearing and believing do not guarantee respect, it is my belief that without them you will not have that respect of God. To respect the Word of God, it must be trusted. Many people like the idea of hedging their bets. We put money in multiple banks. We won't put all our eggs in one basket. We try the buffet instead of the catfish because maybe I don't like the Mississippi catfish. Haven't tried it, not knocking anything. But we want to hedge our bets. We want to hedge our risk. You know, that's pretty much what Paul saw when he was at the Areopagus there in Athens, Acts 17. He looks around and he sees all these monuments and things to different gods. And then there's that one to the unknown God. People hedging their bets. Hope we chose the right one. We'll get them all. They didn't trust in the one true and living and eternally faithful God. When a man puts his trust in the Word, he will change. Think of Abraham. He had to trust in that Word. God says, you know, Abraham, I want you to leave the land you're in. And I want you to leave your friends. I want you to leave your family. I want you to go to a faraway place. Abraham, okay, God, you're saying I'm on it. Oh, and I want you to sacrifice your son. Abraham, he goes forward. He's going to do it. We know, in fact, there in Hebrews 11, he says, he just figured God would raise him up again. He was trusting in God. Consider Moses. Moses is a man who begged God, choose anybody but me. Anybody. But later there, he comes down from the mountain. He's received the Ten Commandments. He sees the people worshiping this golden calf. And more or less, Moses draws a line in the sand. He says, you're God, for God, you come to me. For whoever is of God, come to me. That's a change. You see, trust the Word of God. It changes people. Think about the Jews on Pentecost. They hear, they believe, they know, according to this words that Peter is sharing with them, we're guilty of killing the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind. And so, as they're there with Paul, they say, what shall we do? What shall we do? He tells them, repent and be baptized. They change. They continue on in the apostles' doctrine, which is indeed the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is indeed the words of the Father. For Christ did nothing nor said anything but was not from the Father. Words change people when they trust in the Word. How about Onesimus? Remember Onesimus in the book of Philemon? Onesimus, he's an individual that has gone to Paul because he was formerly worthless to Philemon. But now he has worth, and now indeed he is a beloved brother, according to the text. Why? Because the change the Word of God can put in all mankind when they trust in the Word. Salvation demands that we put our trust in the Word of God. Here's testimony to this fact. John 14, verse 6, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. These are the words of Jesus Christ. You don't put your trust in that, you don't have salvation. John 6, 68, we see the disciples leaving Christ. And then he says to the 12, are y'all going to go too? Not exactly that way. Their reply, Simon Peter answers and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105. That Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. God's Word is trustworthy. Isaiah 40 and 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. Proverbs 30 and 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put his trust in him. What's trust by itself? I mean, there are a lot of people that say, I trust in God. I love God. He's my life. But I say there are a great number of folks that say that do not respect the Word of God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. In this text, Jesus is sharing a parable with those about him. Yes, we have the parable of the sower. And I want to begin looking there in verse 4. And what a great multitude were coming together. And those from the various cities were journeying to him. He spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road. And it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Another seed fell on the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Another seed fell into the good ground and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. He said, "To you it is granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those besides the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they may not believe and be saved. So the ones that hear, some just simply reject. Those are the ones that we talked about at the beginning today. Those that hear, but they don't respect the word of God. Then he continues on. He says there in verse 13, "And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away." Again, with these folks, they receive that word and they believe. But they didn't respect the word of God, for they fall away. Then we have the thorns, spoken of in verse 14. "And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity." They had too many things going on in their life. They did hear. They did believe. They trusted. But there are just so many other things. Their work. Their sports. Their vacation. They were engaged in all these. Even their family was more important than the Word of God. Because family, Travis, don't speak about family. I love my family. But God's more important. And if you trust in God and you put Him first, you'll gather with the saints as commanded. You'll encourage, you'll exhort, you'll lift up. You'll be part of that body. And regardless who you are, nonetheless important. Of course, then we have that last soil. Verse 15, "The seed in the good ground, these are the ones who have heard the word, and in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance." They bear fruit. We're going to talk about this lastly. We hear, we believe, we trust, we must obey. But remember this about trust. You either trust in the word, or you put yourself above the word. And a great many people in this world are putting themselves above the Word of God. Now, taken with all the other elements, obedience shows the respect for the Word of God. I want to go back to the text that we read earlier there in 2 Chronicles. And I want to, again, it's chapter 34. This time, however, we will read there in verses 29 through 33. Again, we have the book of the law found. Josiah is the king. When he heard the word, we know that he tore his clothes. Beginning now, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 29. "Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, and all the people, from the greatest to the least. And he read in the hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord God to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments." Now note, they heard. They believed. They established, here is a covenant of our trust. But there's more. It's a covenant according to walking. Walking in love, Walking as children of light, walking in wisdom, all established there within Ephesians chapter 5. Continuing, keep His commandments, His testimonies, His statutes with all His heart and with all His soul to perform the words of the book of the covenant written in this book. Moreover, verse 32, He made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand with Him. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah removed all the abominations from all the lands belonging to the sons of Israel and made all who were present in Israel to serve the Lord their God. Throughout his lifetime, they did not turn from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. They've heard, they believe, they trusted, and now they step up and they obey the Word of God, showing respect for the Word of God. He walks in it. He removes the sinfulness. He respects it. There's no question of His respect because you can see it. Psalm chapter 4, verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in Jehovah. That's what we see when we look at that fifth chapter of Ephesians. Folks that are encouraged to step up in that walk of obedience. Many people claim to trust in Jesus, but do they? Do they have this unwavering walk and you go, that is someone false? And I don't claim it. We can know every man's heart, but the things that he believes should be evident in his deeds. Don't just show, or tell me rather, to serve and respect the Word, but show me. James, in chapter 2, we will read here verses 20 through 26. Beginning now, verse 20, James 2. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result, the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as a body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. What would you do if your child looked up into your eyes, this one that you bore, this one that you've raised and guided, they looked up to you and said, you are a liar. What? Guarantee it in my house. When we disobey God, we are saying, God, you are a liar. I don't believe you're going to punish me. I don't believe you're going to do anything. I do not respect you. We must walk according to the paths of the Lord, for they are holy, they are pure, and they will guide us to our salvation. Christians need to be zealous in their respect for the Word. It's directly from God. By definition, 2 Timothy 3:16 is God breathed. It's truth, John 17:17. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. It controls the wind and the sea, as established there in Mark 4. You know, we like to pick up a lot of things in this world. We like to collect things. How many of y'all have things that are from heaven? I mean, think about it. Got your car? Nope, that's earthly. Got a great stereo system up. That's earthly. Got a Wii. Earthly. My wife, she's heavenly, but she's from earth. All these things, earthly, but the Word of God is directly from heaven. Some folks are terrified even to touch these words. They turn them with an instrument. since their hands would not tarnish the pages of the Word of God. Some people get crazy about saying, look, I got a meteorite. It's from out of this world. I got something from out of this world. It's above and beyond this world. It's greater than all things. In fact, the Word created the world in that silly little meteorite. The meteorite's going to sit there on the shelf. The Word of God needs to live in my heart and in my actions and not sit on a shelf. Do you display a hunger and zeal for the Word of God? Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Luke 11:28. But He said, blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you've ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. Final word. Words. On respecting the authority of the Word of God. The Word encompasses all the authority of God because the Word is God. Jesus said, all authority hath been given to me unto heaven and earth, Matthew 28:18. By His Word we know we'll be judged, John 12:48. Either rejected me, deceived not my sayings, hath one that judged Him. The same word that I spoke, this will judge you in the final day. His Word will outlast the world. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. And finally, it is the Word that we should respect above all things. Matthew 10:28. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy the soul and the body in hell. When we determine to serve God in our way, own way, it's no longer His way. Respecting the Word to our salvation is as simple as hear and believe and trust and obey. The Word is Jesus Christ. Serve Him and you respect the Word of God. At this time, we actually are going to offer an invitation. Because we want none to escape is probably not the right word. None to miss this great and wonderful day of salvation that is before us. The Word of God has been shared by able men from the words that are God-breathed. If you do hear, have heard, and you do believe, and you trust, so you say, I'm demanded, repentance is demanded of me. I lay my life down in confession that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And you follow that obedience in a baptism, a full immersion by the Word's definition itself. And you want to obey, that is, live faithfully. That invitation stands this very day before you, and how great it is. If you do also have any other need that you would put before the men of this congregation, I know they stand ready. So please do at this time, if you are subject to this invitation, stand and do come forward while we sing a song of invitation.